2 years ago, former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd announced that asylum seekers arriving by boat would no longer be settled in Australia. At the time, at least 30,000 asylum seekers had already been released from detention and into communities on bridging visas. While they could live in Australia until the government decided on their case, they couldn't work or study. Five asylum seekers living on bridging visas in Western Sydney, waiting for the government to decide if they can stay, are now opening up with their experiences. Their stories are being told on stage by a group of Australian performers, as speaking out themselves could land them back in detention or sent home. Nina Kopel has the story.
Imagine that you're going to be in another country. It's too hard to imagine, but you have to leave your country and go to another country, and the way is going to be too hard for you. It's going to be the hardest journey in your life.
Before Emil, which isn't his real name, got on the boat to Australia, he had never seen the ocean. When he imagined the journey, he thought he would be enjoying the view from a huge ship, being steered to safety by a friendly captain. He was wrong. After 3 days without food or water, Emil wasn't enjoying the journey. The boat was sinking. Now his story is being told on stage, performed by an Australian to keep Amir's identity a secret.
We were screaming. I was screaming until I noticed something different. I saw a family, a father, wife, children, and a 4 or 5 year old girl. She was sitting on her father's shoulder. She was encouraging her father, like, "Hey father, don't worry, we are going to be okay. We are going to be saved. Don't worry, we are going to be safe quickly." When I saw her, I thought, wow, she was a hero.
I'm at a rehearsal for If You Come to Australia, and I'm talking to Tamana Mizada, one of the performers in the play. Like those in the play, she has experience seeking asylum. Just a few months after she was born in war-torn Afghanistan, her family fled to Germany via Russia, and the journey wasn't easy.
Obviously, we didn't just have our normal journey by train thing. We actually walked through the forest to Kazakhstan. I remember the scenes in my head where my dad was carrying me in the snow and things. I still can't believe I remember that. But,
just you know, carrying you through the snow is stuck in your mind all these years.
The image, like how he was carrying me and wolves and stuff, seeing animals, I still can remember those vivid scenes. And once we went to Russia, we were under recognized as asylum seekers for a few years, and then we moved to Germany, and then I lived Germany with my parents for nearly 10 years before I came to Australia as a permanent resident.
But the story of seeking asylum isn't so familiar for all the performers. Finn O'Keefe told the story of Omid, who was a 16-year-old boy when he came to Australia from Afghanistan by boat.
One thing that struck me in reading all of the stories together is most people that are fleeing intense persecution actually don't have time to plan. I think sometimes there's this perception in the general public's mind that war-torn situations are long, drawn-out things, and there are different reasons which might motivate people to come, when in actual fact the five stories that are reflected in the play, most people said that they had like a day to leave or something like that. One of the characters says that it was the furthest thing in their mind that they would be coming and living in Australia. They were actually at university and had one subject left to do of their degree, and then suddenly, bang, they found out that their family were being targeted and they had to leave.
You know what happened after that? I was looking for that 4-year-old girl. I found out that she was dead. Yeah, she was dead, but her whole family was rescued. I don't know about other people, but these dead babies was the saddest thing. We were all crying for these babies.
The play was developed by Katie Green, who is a social worker helping refugees transition into the Australian community. But she has been so affected by the people she works with, she has decided to take on the role of director as well.
They were real people in front of me that had had this experience. And also, these stories were very, very different to the meta-narrative played out in the media. Really, really different individual stories as opposed to these nebulous images of sort of hundreds of people on boats, hundreds of people locked in detention centres. And, you know, the stories were fascinating as well.
What do you think people took away from the show?
Look, you know, and you won't be surprised, we had a lot of refugee advocates in the audience, and so a lot of people came up to me, "How are you going to get these stories out there to the haters? You know, you're preaching to the converted." But the response was so overwhelmingly positive, you know. They were really upset, but they also laughed. They felt a real connection. So, you know, what they took away was you have to keep doing it. You have to keep telling the stories. And my feeling about speaking to people who are already sympathetic and who are already active in the refugee space is we maintain the conversation by talking about it, by putting the stories out there. People continue to be passionate.
There are 5 stories told in If You Come to Australia. Amir's was just one of them. But he says that seeing his story performed on stage was a dream come true.
Wow, was that really me that did this journey?
Amir has always wanted to be an artist and a filmmaker. He is allowed to work in Australia now, but he doesn't see himself living off his art anytime soon. Despite this, and after all he has been through, he is still an optimist.
Yeah, I'm living on hope and I'm dreaming a good future, a beautiful future.
Former refugee Amir, ending that story by Nina Copel.